Good catch, Flipper. Now throw the ball into the basket. Good shot. That was right in.
Sandy and Flipper, a boy and his dolphin, just like in the legends of old. But this is today, and the two friends are playing water basketball in the warm, sparkling waters off the Florida coast.
That's pretty good, Flipper.
Sandy and his dolphin Flipper have been close friends for a long time, and Sandy wishes that every day could be like this, forever.
That's it, Flipper. Now into the basket again.
But the land Sandy and his father have been calling home really belongs to the state. And the planning commissioners have decided to build a causeway, which will run right through where the Ricks' father and son have been living. While Sandy's father is away at Park Ranger School, one of the neighbors, Mr. L.C. Porritt, has been keeping an eye on the boy. Today, he brings sad news for Sandy.
Sandy!
Oh, hi, Mr. Porritt. Come on and join the game.
I haven't time. I've got to talk to you.
Okay. Be back in a minute, Flipper. Yes, sir?
Sandy, how'd you like to go on a trip?
To see my pa?
No, he's still training to be a ranger in that new underwater park. You're going to live with your aunt until he gets back.
But he'll be gone 6 more weeks. Who'll look after Flipper?
Oh, you won't have to worry at all. Flipper will have the best care in the world. The folks from the Miami Seaquarium are coming to take him there. They'll be arriving in an hour.
But nobody can take Flipper. I won't let them, that's all.
The state road gangs will be bulldozing through here tomorrow. There'll be no place for you or Flipper to stay. Flipper has to go to the Seaquarium, and you to your Aunt Matilda's.
I gotta talk to Pa.
He can't be reached, Sandy. I tried. He's off on a diving exercise.
Mr. Porritt, Flipper has to go where I go.
But there's no more water at your aunt's than you can pump from the well. And Flipper can't live in a bucket. I'll be back in an hour to help you get ready.
But, Mr. Porritt...
I'm sorry, son. There's nothing more we can do.
Nothing we can do? Nothing you can do, maybe.
As he walks to the edge of the wharf, Sandy thinks of a desperate plan. Then, because Flipper's out in deep water catching a mid-morning snack, Sandy picks up his klaxon horn to call his dolphin.
Flipper! I'm sorry, Flipper. No more basketball now. We have to leave. Both of us. Wait right here while I get some supplies and a chart from the house. We've got only a few minutes to get away.
Sandy quickly throws whatever canned food he can find into a sea bag. Then, going to his father's nautical charts, he searches until he finds one marked Chart of the Bahamas and West Indies Islands. Then he runs down to the wharf where his skiff is tied. After throwing everything into the boat and checking to see that both gas tanks are full, he notices that Flipper is gone again.
Flipper? Flipper? Okay, ready to go, Flipper. Stay right with me, remember.
Sandy lays the klaxon horn on the wharf and gets ready to start the motor. All day, under the blazing sun, Sandy steers the skiff toward the southeast. And Flipper, loving every moment of the voyage, plays hour after hour in the waves alongside the little boat. At last, sunset comes, and in the twilight, Sandy opens a few of the cans for a cold but delicious supper, while Flipper helps himself to a sumptuous dinner under the sea.
Yeah, I know, Flipper. It's been a long day, and I'm tired, too. We'll sleep until it gets light again, okay?
All during the following morning, Sandy steers the boat into a stiff breeze, and progress against the choppy waves is painfully slow. Around noon, with the hot sun beating down relentlessly, the first tank of gasoline is empty.
It's okay, Flipper. Nothing to worry about. I'll just hook on this second tank of gas. There. We're all set. Here goes.
After another night on the open sea and half of another day, Sandy's food is gone. And there is no gasoline left in the second tank.
Yeah, things look pretty bad now, Flipper. But there's an island way over there. I can just make out the trees. I'll have to try to row the rest of the way. Might as well get out the oars. Hey, that's a great idea. If I give you part of the anchor rope, you'll try pulling me along. Okay, here, catch. I'll row at the same time. That way neither one of us will get too tired. Let's go.
At this very moment, back home, Mr. Porritt has just told the whole story of Sandy running away to Porter Ricks, the boy's father, who holds the klaxon horn Sandy had forgotten on the wharf.
You're right, Mr. Porritt. He must have run away with Flipper. I'll borrow a boat and start searching for them right away. And this klaxon horn may help. Flipper can hear it a long way underwater, and if the dolphin answers, I know Sandy's not far.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'll search every bay and cove up and down the Florida coastline. One thing I'm glad about, at least.
Well, what's that?
Well, I'm sure he didn't head out for the open sea. The Coast Guard's been searching every inch of the water out there for three escaped killers. And if Sandy headed that way, he would have been spotted for sure.
It's a mighty big area.
Oh, I know it's a big ocean, but they would have seen him. I better get going, and wish me luck, will you?
Late that same day, Sandy, who has finally reached a deserted island and explored it to find fruits of all kinds on the trees and a clear running stream of fresh water, hurries back to the beach to tell the good news to an anxiously waiting Flipper.
It's perfect, Flipper. Everything we could want. And nobody anywhere. It's great. They'll never find us here. Never. You want to swim? Okay, here I come. Hey, wait a minute, listen. It's a Coast Guard search plane. I better swim to shore and get under those trees or they'll spot me. Huh? Go with you, Flipper? Underwater? Okay, lead the way.
The plane crisscrosses the island just above the treetops, obviously searching carefully. But Sandy, with one arm around Flipper, lets the dolphin guide him over and around beautiful but dangerous coral reefs. And then, after Flipper leads Sandy through a wide hole in a reef, they head toward the surface.
Wow! It's a secret cave with an underwater entrance. Flipper, you're terrific. It's the best hiding place in the world.
Sandy was wrong. The island is not deserted. And now, as the Coast Guard plane flies off to the north, the escaped killers, Gil Bateson, Barney Millard, and Ish Barton, crawl out of a thick clump of bushes. They drag their boat from its hiding place and push it out into the water. At that very moment, a handsome white yacht rounds the bend of the island and comes slowly toward Bateson's rowboat.
Now, what do we got here? That's just what we need, a boat like that. Yeah, if we can just get on board. I know what we'll do.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, we'll lie down here and pretend we've been drifting for days. Here, like this.
Yeah.
Now, let's hope they fall for it.
Okay.
Flipper has brought Sandy out of the secret cave. Now Sandy peers from behind some rocks at the beautiful white boat. On board the yacht, Sir Halsey Hopewell, his wife Julia, and their two pretty daughters, Gwen and Penny, are on a long cruise through the Caribbean.
Daddy?
What is it, dear?
There's a boat over there with three men in it.
Oh, yes, I see. I've got them in my binoculars now. They could be those convicts the Coast Guard's been searching for.
They certainly look harmless enough. In fact, they look half dead.
Nevertheless, Penny, go fetch my pistol.
All right, Daddy.
As Sandy watches from his hiding place on shore, the three escaped convicts pretend to be drifting helplessly in their small boat while Sir Halsey steers his yacht alongside and then cuts the engine. Holding the pistol Penny had brought him, Sir Halsey peers over the gunwale at the three men who seem to be unconscious.
It's the three convicts, all right. They fit the description perfectly. Julia, get on the radio to the Coast Guard while
Never mind the radio, lady.
Daddy!
Oh,
just don't move anybody. Okay, Ish, Bonnie, get on board.
Wait a minute. We'll give you food if that's what you need.
Yeah, it is. We need food and a good fast boat. And it looks like you got all those things, buddy, so we'll swap. We'll take your boat and you can have ours. Go on, climb into it, all of you.
We'd better do as he says, my dear. Girls, you go first and help your mother.
All right, Daddy. Come on, Gwen. Now you, Mummy.
Yes, dears. There we are. Halsey?
Coming.
Wait a minute. I changed my mind. We're going to need you to help run this boat, so you stay.
But my wife and the girls, they can't reach the island alone. Look at that surf.
It's not our problem. Bonnie, shove the boat free.
Oh, I beg you. Please don't take my husband.
Don't take Daddy, please.
They'll never make it to shore.
Never mind about them. Get this boat running. Move!
If anything happens to them...
It will if you don't get us out of here.
But I... Very well.
Sandy could hardly believe what he had just seen.
They stole that boat. They're pirates. What's Flipper trying to tell me? Oh, the rowboat's in trouble.
Lady Julia and her two daughters, Gwen and Penny, struggle to bring the rowboat toward shore. Suddenly, one of the floorboards gives way and the boat begins to sink.
We're going down. It's getting harder to row. Penny, Gwen, kick off your shoes quickly. We'll have to swim for sure.
But it's too far. We'll never reach it.
Mummy! Dry, girls. Got to dry.
Keeping hidden behind some rocks, Sandy rushes to the water's edge with the life ring from his own rowboat.
Flipper, take this life ring out there. It may save them. Go on, hurry.
Mummy, look. That fish, or whatever it is, it's pushing a life ring toward us.
Gwen, it's nearest you. See if you can reach it. She's got it. Good girl. Now. Oh, we can all hang on and kick our feet.
It'll bring us into shore. Where did it go?
What's that, dear?
That fish.
Dolphin, dear. A dolphin isn't a fish. It breathes air. It's a mammal.
That dolphin, then. It's gone, and I wanted to thank it.
Flipper swims back to shore, where Sandy remains hidden.
Good work, Flipper. Now let's get out of here before they land and start looking around.
A little while later, Lady Julia, Gwen, and Penny have rested. Now, as they look around, they fully realize how desperate their situation still is.
Oh, what'll we do now? No food, no water, nothing. We're marooned. We'll just try to manage.
And Daddy, what will happen to Daddy?
Oh, everything will be all right. Somehow, it'll be all right.
Early the following morning, Sandy swings out of the hammock he'd made for himself between two banana trees and strolls down to a hidden cove where he washes his face in the clear, still water.
Good morning, Flipper. Wait here. I'm going to peek and see how our visitors are doing.
Sandy moves silently through the woods until he comes to the small clearing where Lady Julia and her two daughters had spent a sleepless night. Hiding behind some huge leaves, he can hear every word.
I'm sure there are many things we can find here to eat.
Oh, there are, dear. But there are others that are very poisonous, and none of us know which are which. I'm sorry, but I can't take chances of either of you becoming ill. We'll just have to catch fish or find turtle eggs, something like that.
But how, Mummy?
I don't know, but we'll try. Here. We'll use this palm branch for a fishing pole, and I'll unravel the hem of my dress for some line, and here, we'll use this pin for a hook.
May I be the first to try, Mummy?
Of course, Penny. Here. Who knows? Maybe you'll be lucky enough to catch a guppy or something.
Sandy hurries back to his cove to talk the problem over with Flipper.
I'd like to help them, Flipper, but they just can't know I'm here. If they did and they got rescued, they might tell somebody. Huh? Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe there is a way to help them. Okay, we're gonna try. ¶¶